website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. It's a question that I believe we need to answer. I believe it needs to be asked and responded to. When it comes to the Christian church, Christian ministries, those that are believers, the question is, should the church be silent? Should the church be silent? Now, if you were to listen to most of the pundits today, if you'd listen to many of the political organizations and structures, their response would be, and many Christians, by the way, their response would be, well, the church is that little building down the street. What if you say inside that building about Jesus is okay? But you cannot say anything about Jesus outside that building. And certainly you cannot talk about the events in the world that's called politics inside that building or outside that building. The mindset is that somehow, some way, the Christians, the believers, the conservatives ought to be silent. The latest we have from the DOJ is a fascinating warning. I'll say this as a pre-monologue, then we'll get into the open lines for you to call in later in the show this morning. Headline, DHS warns of heightened threat of attacks on churches and cops ahead of the 2024 election. Dated May 30th, the Department of Homeland Security has issued a warning of heightened threat environment, including possible attacks against such institutions as churches and police as the 2024 election draws closer. Just the News reports that the Memorial Day bulletin issued by the DHS also warned of political violence that could be sparked by legislative or judicial decisions pertaining to socio-political issues. The bulletin declares that lone offenders and small groups motivated by a large range of ideological beliefs and personal grievances could continue to pose a persistent and lethal threat to our homeland. Further in the article, it says, the memo also noted the coming 2024 election, claiming that in the coming months, factors that could mobilize individuals to commit violence, including their perceptions of the 2024 election cycle. The memo later went on to list numerous possible targets, such as political violence, including faith-based institutions, et cetera, et cetera. It's a three-page article. That was just a couple of blurbs from it. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, should churches be silent? Should we be silent? Why do you think the DHS would say that churches are going to be attacked between now and the election time? Could it be because they're the ones that's manifesting it? Could it be that they're the ones that's causing it to fester and come to the point of that being a reality? I don't know. That's my opinion. We'll talk about that and other things that dovetail with that question during the course of this broadcast today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. As we face the issues, it is not based on a denominational dogma. It's not based on political, philosophical rhetoric. We do not base our coverage of these issues on what someone may think, say, or we look at the world and the events taking place nationally, globally, and locally, we look at it through the prism of the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, called the Bible, the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus himself says, "I am truth." And further, a declaratory statement is made. John 17:17, the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that others that call things truth will come and go. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the Word of God is self-sustaining. It is, it will remain to the last of the last days. It is the only thing that we can depend upon. It's the only real truth, because otherwise you'd be listening to those that detest and hate what is called truth today. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, made a profound statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be true today. You notice just in the past several days where there's the bantering about of a balanced budget, a bantering about raising the debt limit, a bantering over whether or not it's Joe Biden's way or the highway. And the mindset has been that each side is supposed to give. Well, the Biden administration didn't give. I think that in the long run, what they have done through Kevin McCarthy is a horrible, horrible so-called deal. My most humble opinion, the Republicans should say no. And you say, well, don't you realize if that happens, the financial base of America will collapse? Bring it on. Let's see what takes place. I don't believe that. It is an impossibility. It is a scare tactic to bring silence on the part of the conservative left, as it is called, or the conservative right, as we're called, or left or right, depending on which side of the aisle you're on, I assume. But it's the conservative agenda that they're supposed to be silenced. And if you say that we're going to implode financially, then that should bring silence, should bring buckling, it should bring groveling at the feet of the Biden administration. So also, ladies and gentlemen, there's the threat now that is made public by the DHS that we need to be silent as churches and as Christians. I believe we need to go back, ladies and gentlemen, to the 15th century theologian and church reformer and what was said then, which I believe applies today. Faithful Christians, this is a quote from Jan Hus, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I challenge us today to make that our mantra, motto, and that we carry it out each and every day? Seek the truth. You'll not always find it on the front page of the news. Seek the truth. You'll not always find it when you turn the television on and search for the news. Seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love it. Tell it. Live it. And defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my challenge each and every day. And I believe that is a challenge and a mantra that we need to hang on to and recognize. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The Tools for Time knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, there's a gigantic benchmark, a way to find Tools for Time. 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flying 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the full family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is today, should the church be silent? I believe we're watching the federal government and governmental agencies across the nation trying to badger and threaten and force the churches to be silent. I believe we've been silent long enough. I believe it's time to be silent no more. I believe it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and warn of the danger ahead, the danger coming. I believe we need to go back to the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, look at the first 10 verses in particular, and see the watchman on the wall that has the responsibility of warning of dangers to come, danger to come. Ladies and gentlemen, should the church be silent? Should Christians be silent? Should the Christian conservative voice be silent leading up to the election and even before? We must keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA are all, listen to me, all complicit in setting the stage for silencing the church and the Christian voice. The DOJ has already called the Christians and conservatives domestic terrorists. We might ask the question, who are these domestic terrorists? By the way, Merrick Garland with the DOJ, about a year ago now, issued a 32-page document that was issued to Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, with the instructions on how to identify a domestic terrorist. Do you realize that you are a domestic terrorist? I am a domestic terrorist. If we challenge the school board about teaching pornographic material, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda to our students, if you are challenging a school board, you're a domestic terrorist. If you're a Trump follower, you're a domestic terrorist. If you believe the election in 2020, 2022 was fraudulently carried out, you are a domestic terrorist. And I could go on and on and on with the identification of a domestic terrorist that's already been put out in the marketplace by the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, and all the other three-letter organizations, including the IRS. So, ladies and gentlemen, do we see a movement? Do we see the potentiality of a large net being drawn that the Christians and the conservatives are carved out for a threat to induce silence? That's the question today. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much for calling. Hope you're having a good day.
I'm having a great day. Sir, you mentioned something there that struck a chord there and something I was going to point out, but I want to amplify your statement there. Prior to the elections of 2020, major Democratic politicians were out there encouraging the rioters. There will be no peace till social justice, this and that. Some of them were even funding bail, Kamala Harris being one of them. Funding bail to get these individuals out. These individuals have destroyed federal, public, and private property. They've led to numerous deaths. No investigations there. To me, I see this as a false flag. Let's put it in the years of our useful, for lack of better terms, lack of understanding, idiots, and let them go wild on these institutions. I do believe they want us to be silenced. I do believe that the Christians should be speaking up, but those that will be speaking up will be flagged. I'm pretty sure that somewhere in these halls of these three-letter institutions that my name's on a list somewhere and somebody's listening to
every word
I've got to say. Yes. So I'm proud to be in that prestigious club with you, sir. And my message to them is they should seek the Lord Jesus Christ. As Joshua said, as for me and my family, yeah, I'm with God. I'm with Jesus.
Amen.
And they need to find that.
One of the things that many misunderstand, and I find it sad, and I've had the privilege of interfacing with Christians and Christian pastors for less than 100 years now, and I find it sad that so many pastors have been brainwashed into believing, well, you know, we're just supposed to tell people about Jesus and let everything else handle itself. No, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what you find all of the major names that we could call in the Scripture. That's not what they said, what they thought or what they were doing. They were salt and light, and that's what we're called upon to do. Jim, I'm going to read a verse or two of Scripture and get your take on it. It's one that's unusual, but I think is fitting for the era in which we're living in. It is in 2 Kings, the 7th chapter, verse 3 and 4. And the setting is Elijah is speaking, talking about what is taking place. There's a famine going on in the land. People are dying. And here are these leprous men. They're outside the city. Leprosy in that day, they had to stay outside the city in leprous camps, etc. And they see what's taking place. And in verse 3, it said, and there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we will die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. I like this phrase, why sit we here? They're watching what is taking place. They're going to die in either event. So the question is, do we sit outside the camp and starve to death? Or do we go inside the camp and see if there's a morsel of food and perhaps the Syrians are there? They might kill us. They may not. But why sit we here until we die? Well, my question to you, Jim, is I'll take that and pull it from that Old Testament text into the current setting of what we're talking about. Why sit we here as Christians until we die? Jesus has already said in John the 15th chapter and the 18th verse, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me first. Verse 20, he says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So the question is, if we know that we're going to be persecuted, if we know that ultimately we're going to die for our faith, as is real for those that will remain after the rapture of the church, and those that few, the minuscule number that get saved during the tribulation, they're going to die for their faith, be martyrs. So, Jim, knowing that, should we be silent? Should we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen? Or should we just sit here in silence until we die? What are your thoughts about that correlation of the text?
Well, the men were sitting there, obviously in despair. They knew that they had an option. They knew that either ended in death, so they had to make a definitive decision.
Yes.
They made a positive decision towards doing something that may benefit them. If we're going to be prosecuted or persecuted, or looked down upon because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, like you had already said, and Jesus himself said, and you said, quoting scripture there, you know, Paul also says that be joyful in that day, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That you've been found worthy,
yes,
to be persecuted for Jesus' name. And he never promised an easy life, and I can guarantee you, life ain't easy.
That's right.
It's full of fraud.
Jim, I'm looking at an article here. It says, now the feds want to regulate our freedom of association. Dateline May 30th. In many ways, freedom of speech is vanishing in America with equality or equity demands, pronouns, orders and requirements for not just political but gender, racial, and other correctiveness. Freedom of religion, too, has been attacked under the Joe Biden administration with multiple legal fights by groups that simply want to worship in their faith tradition. After all, this article reads, it was Biden administration that sped up the spying on Christians and Christian religion in America, end quote. The article goes on. If we know that we're being spied on, if we know that we're watched, if we know that we're in the crosshairs of the federal government to silence us, why should we sit here until we die? That's my mantra. That's my position. And, Jim, I know that you stand with this. My philosophy is my feeling. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as we have opportunity to do so, because those doors of freedom are rapidly closing. And the average Christian, the average believer, the average conservative, in my most humble opinion, even those listening today, do not recognize how quickly our freedoms are being dissipated. If we're going to do something for the gospel's sake, if we're going to do something for freedom's sake, we need to do it and do it now, is my simple, humble opinion. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for the dialogue and discussion. You're spot on with where you stand, and I pray that others will listen and respond accordingly. Have a blessed day, and thank you for calling.
You too, sir.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the article that is the catalyst for what I am wanting to discuss today. Let me read that headline again. The DHS, Department of Homeland Security, warns of heightened threats of attacks on churches and cops ahead of the 2024 election. I'll read the first paragraph only. The Department of Homeland Security has issued a warning of heightened threat environment, including possible attacks against such institutions as churches and the police leading up to the 2024 election. Now, my question is, and I believe we need to analyze it, scrutinize it, if we've already been called domestic terrorists, if the DHS, that's Department of Homeland Security, and the DOJ, the Department of Justice, led by Merrick Garland, the FBI, led by Christopher Wray, and the IRS and other three-letter acronymed agencies, if they all are focusing on we the people, and primarily the conservatives, primarily the Christian conservatives, if they're focusing on us, should we sit back in silence out of fear? Should we cower in fear and wondering why we can say something or if we can say something? I'm looking at an article that says, surveillance over every citizen on earth. Devious groups look to rule the entire world. Article reads like this. World Health Organization has set its sights on establishing a platform for global governance through the healthcare program. So warns former GOP presidential candidate, U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann, who was in attendance at a 10-day annual assembly in Geneva of the World Health Assembly, considered the decision-making body of the World Health Organization. Bachmann, according to the report in Washington Stand, says the international body is poised to expand the influence of WHO's mandate over healthcare decisions worldwide. And she goes on to say that the approach is to rule the world and to do so through the healthcare agenda, that is to control people based on healthcare. Ladies and gentlemen, we see the handwriting on the wall. We see what is taking place today, and it's exponentially increasing in rapidity each and every day, going toward the fact that the churches will be ultimately closed, the Christian will be hunted and chased as the rabid enemy of society that the Biden administration is making it out to be today. So should we be silent? Why sit we here till we die? Should the church be silent is the question. And ladies and gentlemen, we're already called domestic terrorists. If you're willing to challenge the local school board for teaching porn, LGBTQ materials in your child's classroom, you are a domestic terrorist. If you believe the 2020 and 2022 elections were stolen, fraudulently stolen, you are a domestic terrorist. I'm just giving you a brief idea of what we already have been called. You know, it was Hillary Clinton said we're a basket full of deplorables. It was Peter Strzok, the FBI agent that was leading the so-called spying against Donald Trump and trying to destroy his life and his presidency. It was Peter Strzok that said that he could smell the Trump followers at Walmart. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been demeaned. We have been dissed, as the society calls it today. But if you believe the 2020 and 2022 elections were fraudulent, then you're a domestic terrorist. If you're a Trump loyalist, you're a domestic terrorist. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're outspoken about the Biden administration's transgenderism, the barbaric practice of butchering boys and girls, you're a domestic terrorist. So I think, ladies and gentlemen, that covers who we are as so-called domestic terrorists. It is the ones that's being looked at by the Biden administration with the spying on, if you will, those are the churches, the Christians, and conservatives in America today. If you're a Christian, you believe abortion is murder. You stand up for life in the womb. You're a domestic terrorist. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration has been and is continuing to be the main leader in the attacks and silencing the churches, silencing Christians, silencing the pastors. In fact, we've had pastors persecuted and prosecuted under the Biden administration for praying in front of a murder clinic called abortion clinics. We've had pastors and Christians today that back during the era of the lockdowns for the churches that were persecuted and prosecuted because of the refusing to be in submission and silenced by the federal government. Ladies and gentlemen, Ezekiel 33, 1 through 10, I would recommend that you read it. It is talking about the watchman on the wall and the requirements in God's word that the God-fearers of the Old Testament, those that we call Christians in the New Testament, we have the responsibility of warning danger ahead. Now, I don't know. Perhaps you don't see danger ahead. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What are your positions? That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. On some occasions, I've had those that say, give the telephone number more often. Sometimes I fail to do that. But that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. Do you believe, I'm asking you a question, love to hear your response. Do you believe that pastors should talk about these things from the pulpit? Do you believe that's part and parcel of the responsibility of the pastor in the pulpit? Do you believe that we need to warn, as the watchman on the wall, warn of danger ahead, to warn of the dangers that we see based on the authority of the scripture? I believe it's our responsibility, and I believe that responsibility cannot be shirked. That responsibility cannot be shunned. That responsibility cannot be shuffled off to the shoulders of someone else. We have that responsibility. And listen, every child of God has that responsibility. We need to understand that, yes, we are already warned that we'll be persecuted. We're already warned in the scripture by the Lord Jesus that the world's going to hate us. And somehow, some way, we've grown soft in Christianity, believing that if I'm a Christian, the world should embrace me, the world should love me, the world should compliment me, the world should praise me. But ladies and gentlemen, that hasn't happened. And if I can use poor grammar to make a point, it ain't going to happen. It's simply not the way God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding the attacks on the churches and Christians and conservatives primarily being carried out by this administration to silence the church into believing that somehow, some way, we need to stay in our own lane, as the world calls it today. I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, because of what we're seeing. I'm looking at an article that says, school board defies state law so it can force LGBTQ ideas down the kids' throats. This gets back to the question, do we have the right, do we have the opportunity, do we have the freedom today as parents, grandparents, to stand before school board and challenge them with what they're teaching? This article says many school districts across the nation are now adopting mandatory LGBTQ indoctrination programs for students, sometimes called the sex education, sometimes simply called diversity. This common factor is that they promote the LGBTQ ideologies to young children. It goes on to talk about what is happening in state after state after state, where that is the agenda of pushing the LGBTQ agenda. Listen, we're talking about asking the question, should churches be silent? Should we be silent about what is called political issues, social economic issues, church issues? No, we should not be silent. We should take a stand, and the world should know where we stand and where the world, Word of God stands on these issues. We need to take a stand and say to the world, silence no more. We're going to be speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Right after the break, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The House due to take a vote this evening on the debt ceiling deal. It's a deal that GOP Congressman Scott Perry says fails the American people. The Pennsylvania Republican is chair of the House Freedom Caucus. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who negotiated the agreement with President Biden, is insisting it's a good deal. And if it does clear the House, the next stop for the measure would be the Senate. There are reports that former New Jersey governor and Trump advisor Chris Christie will seek the GOP presidential nomination. He'll reportedly make his announcement next week. Meanwhile, two of the declared candidates, Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, are on the stump today across Iowa. Heavy losses so far this morning on Wall Street. Right now, the Dow is down 268 points, while the Nasdaq is off 92. More details at srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today is the question, should the church be silent? When I say church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about the denomination. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, those that are Christians, as the scripture would call us. Ladies and gentlemen, should we be silent? That includes pastors. That's talking about Sunday school teachers, deacons. That's talking about the average Christian, average person that said yes to. Should we be silent about these issues that's faced today? I'll read you a brief blurb from American Family Association. Then we'll take our next caller. This article reads this way. In our battle to reclaim family values in America, we're not fighting an enemy with good intentions. We're fighting an enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, forgive me for being so blunt, but that's the reality. This description comes from Jesus himself in the Gospel of John, and it comes more and more true every day with every new attack. Sexual predators, genital mutilations, cold-blooded child killers. The battle goes on and beyond mere politics. It's a fight against pure evil that's taking place. Our children are becoming, forming from the woke society, morally adrift puppets for the radical left who wants to turn them into puppets. The article further states, take the American Library Association, for example. They may not be villains you read about every day, but they're every bit as radical as the ACLU Planned Parenthood. Not only in the president of the ALA are known Marxists, they're stalking our children and filling the shelves with library books across America with sexually explicit, LGBTQ-affirming, immoral garbage, etc., 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 etc. It says, as Christians, we must not be found silent anymore in the midst of this crisis. We must fight back, end quote. I believe we have Shane on the line. Shane, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. I just want to say thank you for your stand and your contribution and all that you do to combat the wickedness and the evilness that's going on in the world and primarily in our country today. And I want to say that as a child of God who is blood-bought and washed in the blood, we are being put in a position where we really do not have a choice but to stand up and speak. Because the Spirit says, the Bible says, if you live in the Spirit, you should also walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God that lives within me is not going to allow me to sit down and do nothing. We have to stand up. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We are being put in the position where we have to stand up and do the right thing. It's our way of life as a child of God to serve God and live for God is not a preference. It's a conviction. And a conviction is something that we die for. And we must be prepared to stand up for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for the world and done for us. And that's, I think, where we stand.
Brother, you're exactly right and well stated, spot on with the comments. Shane, let me review for our listeners and get your comment to it. There's a story that's real. It's not just a story. It's a real event back during World War II, back during the Holocaust days with Hitler murdering millions of people, including about 6 million Jews. And there was a little church, this is a real story, a little church right near the railroad track. And as the rail cars would go by, filled with Jewish people being hauled off to the incinerators and the concentration camps, sometimes during the midst of the service, the rail cars would go by. The screaming for help, the screaming and cry from the Jewish people on those rail cars. And the preacher's advice to the people when this would happen, just sing a little louder. Just sing a little louder. That story is haunting to think about. That the silence of what Hitler was doing, he was able to carry out what he was doing because the silence of the churches in that era. And I see that same rail car down the tracks today. And I see the silence of Christians, a deafening silence. How should we respond to that? You've said you believe that we need not be silent. I'm in agreement with that. So from the, how would you say, rudimentary, fundamental, elemental advice, what advice do you give? What advice would you offer? How would you respond to the statement? What should we do? As Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? What should the average Christian be saying and doing based on what's happening today?
Dr. Youngblood, I think there's a couple things that we as a Christian church, as a church, a body of believers, need to do. And I think, number one, we need to engulf ourselves in prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think that the church, the believers, and in our individual Christian life and as a body of Christ lack in prayer. I'm not sure that this current generation has seen what God can do through prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The second thing I think we need to do is we need to get back and understand and know who your living God is. There is only one God. There are zillions of idols, but there is only one living God. And the Bible says, O Lord God, thou art my God, and I will love thee and I will exalt thy name. When you understand who your God is and who you serve and who you worship and who you put first in your life, you will have no question, because you'll be walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you and show you every single thing that you're supposed to do. But that can only come through personal commitment and through a personal prayer life and knowing who your God is. He will not lead you into a situation where you cannot deal with. He will lead you and guide you and will give us, yes, we will suffer persecution, but we have to know our God personally in a daily relationship with Him.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself. That's spot on with the statement. As Joshua said in 24:15, the book of Joshua, he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And that's the commitment that I believe is often needed, if not more often than anything else. Shane, brother, thank you so much for your comments. Thank you for your dialogue, discussion, input. I pray that it has found lodging place in the fertile soil of the listening hearts today. God bless you.
Amen.
Keep looking up.
Our
redemption draweth nigh. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. Headline says, "The Left's," that's L-E-F-T apostrophe S, "The Left's Assault on the Goodness of American is an Assault on God." Josh Hawley, this article says, it is Dateline May 29th, says, "The left has rejected America's ancient faith, and this spiritual component is the pinnacle of its nefarious agenda. Senator Josh Hawley warned." Here's the quote. Josh Hawley says this: "Their assault on the goodness of America is an assault on God." Hawley said, he's the Republican from Missouri. He declared at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in a speech Wednesday evening. Hawley outlined three major threats the Marxist left poses to the United States of America. Number one, undermining God. Two, undermining the family. And three, undermining the idea of nationhood. He urges the conservative movement to defend those three bedrocks of America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very similar to what I've said for years and years and years. When you study Marxism, you've got about 10 major tenets of the Marxist belief system, the Marxist system of operation. And out of those 10, I've narrowed it down to three that I've utilized many, many times in the past several years. And that is, number one, to divide the nation by ethnicity. Secondly, to destroy the nuclear family. And thirdly, to dethrone God. And we see that attack taking place in different nuances, day by day, moment by moment, across America. And so let me read you the headlines again. "The left's assault on the goodness of Americans, on American, is an assault on God." I'll read you that blurb one time. Hawley outlined the three major threats the Marxist left poses to the United States: undermining God, undermining the family, and undermining the idea of nationhood. He urged the conservative movement to defend those three bedrocks of America. And ladies and gentlemen, I say not just conservatives, but Christians. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, where we are in America today. There may not be this opportunity that we have today of calling the freedom of religion. Joe Biden has said several times that there's no absolutes in the Bill of Rights. If Joe Biden had his way, the Bill of Rights would be canceled today before sundown. We'd have no religious liberty. We'd have no freedom of speech. We'd have no right to keep and bear arms. That's on the agenda of the Biden administration and his acolytes that are out to destroy the foundation of America. And the Bible says, if the foundation to be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that is in Psalms 11:3. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comments, please.
Hey, brother. Yeah, hey, brother. We had a lot to pray for this nation. I mean, especially sometimes you hear the term, the enemy is within, you know what I mean? But it's so, I happened to meet somebody last week, you know, I speak Spanish, and I was talking to this person. And he's one of those so-called asylum seekers that you can tell there's nothing. They're not being persecuted or anything. That's the lie that they tell the judges. mm-hmm. but the liberal judges believe that and tell them, okay, promise me you're going to come to court on whatever day. They never appear in court. So I asked, you know, this person, hey, so how you guys are going to do? What is your next court date? And this person told me, oh, no, we don't have a court date. We got an immigration email warning us not to go to court because in Florida, the laws, immigration laws are changing. And I was like, wait a minute. The federal government is being complicit. I mean, the immigration is covering up for these people because if they are lying and they are making fraud, the judge needs to find that out. Well, immigration is warning them not to go before the judge. So you wonder, what side is this? Well, we already know what this government side is on.
Yes.
Because they are getting emails by the immigration telling them not to go to the court, not to go to court before the judge. If they are rightly so asking for asylum, why they are afraid of to go before the judge? I think immigration know what's going on. This is an invasion of illegals. And don't be surprised, brother, in the next 3-5 years, you're going to see the liberals and the media crying. Those are the poor dreamers that they need to be legalized, and they need to come out of the shadows. So they know how to play the card. They just know that they are the future Democrats because any right person in their right mind, a Christian, know what the Bible says and what they stand for. We're not going to support them. So they need a new group to vote for them. But the most shocking thing was the immigration telling those illegals not to go before the judge. So make you wonder if they're working for the American government or for the Mexican cartel.
That's it. Jose, one of the things that I'll touch on that I think is the ultimate answer to what we're talking about with that aspect and that issue. You see what they call the DACA, the Dreamers today. They claim there's about 11-12 million. There's really about 30 million. Yes. And now with the millions that's coming under the Biden administration, mm-hmm. as you said, in the next couple of years, they'd be considered the Dreamers. And right at this very moment, the Biden administration has authorized already to give Social Security numbers, Social Security cards to those coming in. They've been given prepaid cell telephones. They're being given funds to operate on. They're getting free education, free medical care. They're not required to take any COVID tests, COVID masking, COVID vaccinations, as the American citizens were forced into. We're watching the coming invasion that is taking place in full force. In 2009, demographers said by 2030, this will be a Hispanic nation. And we're seeing the fast track of that today. And the Democrats are warning that. Some Republicans, if not many behind the scenes, are warning that. But what we're watching is the invasion of those that will be the Democratic voters for the 2024 election. That's the bottom line. These people that are illegal today will be voting in the presidential election in 2024.
And the most shocking thing for me was there's a rule of law. But when you government officials sending the letter to these law-breaking people telling them not to show before the judge, immigration knows that all these claims, asylum seekers, are frauds. They know that. Otherwise, why they have to warn them? They know that they're legal people seeking asylum. Let them continue with the process. Oh, no. They are being told, don't you dare to show before the judge. Because they know. I mean, this is sad, brother. This is really, really sad what's going on in America. As Christians, we have to pray and God help us, because this is a complete mess created by the Democrats. And that's my comment, brother. This is really difficult for me to believe, because they are the ones supposed to uphold the law.
Jose, it's not just this side of what we would call the political issues. It's the moral, ethical values, the family values that's being eviscerated in the process at the very moment. We're watching the Biden administration with open borders, watching the Biden administration defying the Christian, the Biden administration trying to in some way silence the Christian, the conservative, and it's all being done under the guise of the transgenderism that's taking place. If you're against that, then you're somehow, some way, you're less than human. And it's all of these things coming together at once. It's not something that's happened overnight. All of these things have been in the making for years, and we're seeing the net being drawn on over what is called the moral, ethical values, family values in America. We're being invaded with it.
Yes. And that perversion that is going on with Target, it started years ago. That's the only place that the men can go into a woman's bathroom. That's been over 10, 12 years. That's how long me and my family, we haven't gone to any Target or any Starbucks because we all have our values and we cannot sell out. If I need something, I'm sorry. I'm not going to spend a penny at that place. But anyway, bro, that's my comment. God bless you. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call and for your input. You're right on Target, if you please. On target with what you said, even though I'm talking about Target in a moment. Looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen, that says Pride Month 2023 is shaping up to be the most contentious one ever as the corporate world aims to silence Christians and conservatives. Let me read that headline one more time in light of what we're talking about today. Should the church be silent? Pride Month, this is the headline, Pride Month 2023 is shaping up to be the most contentious one ever as the corporate world aims to silence Christians and conservatives. And it says in this article, let me just read it for you. Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim June 2009 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transsexual Pride Month. Barack Obama and Joe Biden did not create Pride Month, but they codified it as an ordinance of the United States of America in 2009. In 2023, we're halfway through the Obama's third term, and the seeds he planted are finally being harvested. And it goes on to say, Target loses $9 billion in a week's following the boycott called over the LGBTQ-friendly kids' clothing. Anheuser-Busch lost a staggering $15.7 billion in value since Bud Light controversy began. Bud Light is one of the brands sponsoring the upcoming Cincinnati Pride Parade as the brand sales continue to plummet. Pride Month is going to be, this article reads, Pride Month 2023 is going to be the greatest push in the history of America, enforcing the agenda upon the rest of America. And it looks like we will see a pushback unlike any we've ever seen before. And I pray that is true. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the culmination, as Jose said a moment ago, years and years and years ago. In fact, I've not shopped at Target for about 30 years as a result of their position on not having Christmas music for Christians, not having not allowing the clerks to say Merry Christmas, et cetera, et cetera. Looking at a headline, Godlessness, super popular Christian TV show, defends the gay pride flag on the set. The article reads, the popular TV show, The Chosen. Now, I don't know anything about The Chosen. I've never watched it. I've heard the term. The show, The Chosen, defended having a pride flag on the set after facing criticism on social media, according to its Twitter post on Tuesday. John Root, a Christian conservative commentator and Turning Point USA contributor, tweeted out a screenshot Monday of the behind-the-scenes YouTube video showing the pride flag on the set of the TV, which portrays the life of Jesus and his ministry, and asked why the pride flag was there. The Chosen Twitter account replied to Root Tuesday, saying, "We will work with anyone on our show." The response, this article stated, the response showed that the Chosen unapologetically supports sexual depravity and has no problem promoting homosexuality and transgenderism. Promoting and accepting unrepentant sin is not the way Jesus lived or taught his followers to live. Root also asked Christians to boycott the show on Twitter, referencing similar moves after Target and Bud Light promoted transgenderism and LGBTQ ideology in their corporate moves. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the implosion of the morals, ethics, and the values. How can we sit in silence as those that were in the camp outside the city in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3 and 4? Why sit we here till we die? Why is it that somehow, some way, there's the mindset that we see the juggernaut coming, we see the persecution, the prosecution increasing, and yet there's the mindset that we need to be silent? I'm looking at an article that said the LGBTQ plus rights movement has made tremendous strides over the past few decades, and much of the progress in visibility is thanks in part to the gay pride parades and marches that have taken place in cities around the world. And it goes on to talk about the LGBTQ and the pride and the gay pride month. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the demoralization and the destruction of our society. But with that, we're watching the push to silence Christians, to silence Christians. Here's a headline. Major retailers' sex grooming for kids goes so far, even gays are sickened by it. Corporate America's sexual grooming of children, that's exactly, ladies and gentlemen, let me pause. That's exactly what's happening. We're watching the sexual grooming and the recruiting of our boys and our girls, our kids and our grandkids, taking place before our eyes. And yet we have whole denominations that's embracing the sodomite movement, entire denominations that are now ordaining homosexual pastors and deacons in the churches, whole denominations that are saying we need to bring the LGBTQ sodomites into our church, love them and engage them, allow them to participate in the life and the work of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, in the churches that refuse that are put in position of being frightened, as now the DHS is saying that there's coming, that the churches are being targeted leading up to the election. That what the DHS are attempting to do, ladies and gentlemen, Department of Homeland Security, setting the stage, the closer we get to the election of 2024, the more silence they want from the churches, the more silence they want from the pulpits, the more we're supposed to sit back in submission and silence and say nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the position that the Bible would have us to take. Why sit we here till we die is the question. How should we then live is the question asked by Ezekiel. As for Joshua saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There are decisions that need to be made. There are choices that we have. Major retailers, this article says, grooming for our kids goes even further. The article says, this is what that you will find in the kids section at Target. We urge you to take your business elsewhere, the group states on the video. Ladies and gentlemen, if you shop at Target, if you shop at Kohl, if you shop at any one of those organizations and stores that are now pushing the LGBTQ pride and selling the merchandise, I would urge you not to. I'm going to just read you. Time won't allow the broadcast to read you. I've got a sheaf of pages, about 35 pages, that's listing the 37 brands that are celebrating and embracing Pride 2023. Coach, those that make the wonderful leather handbags and so forth. Adidas, those that may have a long history of making the shoes, they are celebrating Pride. Apple, should not surprise us with an Apple. Bombas, that is a company that makes socks. Another one, The Body Shop, urging shoppers to show support for the Pride 2023. Converse, they make the shoemakers. Disney, we knew all along about Disney. Disney is now showing support for the LGBT community and Pride Month in particular. Fossil, the famous watch brand, also embracing the gay Pride 2023. Happy Socks, another sock manufacturer. Legos, listen. Did you realize that Legos now has created a Pride Lego set just for this? Let me read you a little blurb. The Everyone is Awesome Lego set celebrates diversity and features 11 mini figures, all rocking their own unique books. This 346 piece model will be available online in stores and could be fun for the kids to learn about the LGBTQ. Levi's supporting Pride Month. MAC Cosmetics supporting Pride Month. Outplay, the article says, the gender-affirming swimwear. PetSmart embracing LGBTQ. Reebok, that is, and on and on and on I could go. Target, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very careful where we spend God's money. And I say that you need to tell your friends, relatives, and neighbors, do not shop at any of these stores that's promoting and pushing the sodomite month, the gay pride, as it is called. Ladies and gentlemen, no, we cannot be silent. We must stand up, speak up, be heard, and warn the world that Jesus Christ is coming, and we need to be aware of what's taking place around us. Thank you for tuning in today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM.